As Paul's writing to the believers in Colossae and the surrounding areas, we're reminded back in chapter 1 that he had told them and encouraging them that he was praying for them, asking God to fill them with the knowledge of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and that they were praying that in order that the Colossian believers may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. So what Paul was praying for them is that they would not only know God better, but they would live according to God's will more effectively. And because they stood firm in God's laws and lived according to God's ways for them, that there would be fruit as a result of their turning to God and living according to God's ways. Well, the false teachings of Paul's day were misleading the believers there. The false teachings focused on the outward appearance of the person and the people, that it was important to do certain things, to believe certain things, and to know certain things in order to please God. In other words, God was not pleased with you unless you were specifically performing certain works and believing certain things. So Paul writes a letter, first of all, I want to say tearing down all these other teachings, the false teachings, but in chapter 3, he transitions in what is a transition to the final parts of the book of Colossians, where he teaches about the characteristics of the Christian life, how we are supposed to live, so to speak. Many of you remember, as I was saying before to the kids, how years ago it was so important on Sunday morning to dress a certain way. And we would say that we needed to put on our Sunday best. So we would have a special set of clothes in the closet that we would get out and we would put on and we would go to church. And unfortunately, as many people would dress up for Sunday morning, putting on their Sunday best for church, they would go home and they would take off their Sunday best and resume their normal life. And in some ways, they would spiritually put on their Sunday best when they go to church on Sunday morning, and people still do today. They put on their spiritual best. You see them on Sunday morning, and they're sort of a different person than you know the rest of the week, because then when they leave the church worship on Sunday morning, they go turn back to their old ways of living. As I thought about that this week and meditating on the scripture for this morning, I thought that, you know, God is really more interested in what we wear outside the church building than what we wear inside. We get dressed up on Sunday morning, and so oftentimes we take it off as soon as we go home. And it's, I'm not talking about our clothes, I'm talking about what's inside. And Paul talks about that here in Christian living. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, what comes out of a person is what makes them unclean, not what goes into them. Because the Pharisees were teaching that certain things had to be done and you could only eat certain things and you shouldn't eat other things because it was going to make you unclean. And Jesus said, it's not what goes into you that makes you unclean, it's what comes out of you that makes you unclean. And what comes out of you comes out as a result of the condition of your heart and mind. The Bible teaches us that all through the New Testament. But it's important for our heart and mind to be in the proper condition spiritually for what comes out of us to be pleasing in the sight of God. This was the focus of Paul's letter as he transitions here in chapter 3. He's first in chapter 3 saying, be focused on the things of heaven. Focus on the things of heaven, not on the things of the earth, but on the things of heaven. He's saying all this other teaching, it's not good. These aren't the things that please God. First of all, he said, focus. Focus on the things of heaven, not on the things of earth. And secondly, turn from your old ways of living, as he spoke in verses 5 through 11. Get rid of, he says, get rid of, rid yourself of such things. Put to death what belongs to the earthly nature. And he lists these certain things. And as he's speaking here, he's using the exchange of clothing to help us understand what he's talking about and to help the believers then understand what he's talking about in this put off, put on, take off, put on, get rid of, put on. You know, rid yourselves, put off such things. And he says, put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. So he uses this idea of the exchange of clothing to help us understand. He starts by saying, rid yourselves, put off the old self, and put on the new self. Because, he said, you've been raised with Christ. Put the old self off, put the new self on. And he's not talking about the outward appearance. So we say, well, what do those clothes look like that he's talking about? Put off, put on. Like putting off old clothes and putting on new ones. What do those clothes look like? And as I thought about that, I thought, he's talking about church clothes. He's talking to the Christians here, the believers. He's not talking to the pagans and the unbelievers. He's talking to the Christians, the church people, so to speak. Therefore, he says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, and that is the believers, the Christians, God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let's see. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is something from the inside. It's not an outward appearance. It comes from the inside. And as we think about these and listen to what he's talking about, this is exactly what he wrote to the Galatians in chapter 5. In speaking of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's exactly what he's saying here. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. In other words, the things of the Spirit, heavenly things. He goes on to say, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And I wrote in the margin of my Bible at one other point when I preached on this, this is the hard part, isn't it? This is the hard part. Bear with each other. And remember, he's writing to the Christians. Sometimes we think that's easy because we're Christians. Oh, we're going to just get along fine, and we don't get along fine. We're Christians. We're human beings. We're living in this fleshly body. He said before, you know, don't lie to each other. Put these things off. Don't treat each other this way. Now he's saying, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with each other, forgiving whatever grievances you may have against one another. And people say, but you don't know what they did to me. And I say, I don't care what they did to you. Nothing they did to you is any worse than what you've done to Jesus through your sin. And Jesus loved you and died on the cross for you and forgave you. Therefore, the Bible says we should forgive as the Lord forgave you. And that is tough. We remember this is what Paul was praying for them. He was praying that they would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that they might have great endurance and patience and thankfulness, giving thanks to God. You see, these things take strength. And Paul was praying that these Christians would have the strength to be able to do this. Because it takes strength, and it only comes through the strength and power of the Holy Spirit living inside us. As Paul said to the Galatians, this is the fruit of the Spirit. Only with the Spirit of God inside us can we live like this. And can we clothe ourselves with these attributes and these virtues? He goes on to say, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Put on love. You know, it's like putting on a perfect three-piece suit. That it's just not complete unless there's the existence of love. Now, how do we love the unlovable? Someone who's done something to us that we're having trouble bearing with or forgiving as the Lord forgave us. How do we love them? Because unless we love them, it's all worthless motion and all meaningless confession. How do we love them? Well, it's easy to love someone and as God's creation. Every human being is God's creation and deserves love in one way or another. If nothing more, to just pray for them. Because they treated you the way that they did, because there's something missing inside. And we feel sorry for them. We have compassion, you see. We have kindness and patience as we're supposed to, because there's something missing inside them. And we say, well, then I know I've wronged someone else. You see, and we pray that they'll have compassion with us and forgive us. But unless love exists, there will be no unity and these attributes, these virtues will be powerless. He says, over all these, put on love, like that, like I say, that perfect three-piece suit, or you know, you have the outfit, but you just don't have the shoes to go with it, and none of your shoes look right with it, you know. You have to have the element of love, or it just doesn't work. You know, when he says put on love, the Greek word here for put on, or the Greek words, implies to sink into. Put on, sink into, like you would sink into a garment. You see, to clothe ourselves, to sink into. In our culture, we say, well, I'd love to sink my teeth into a nice big juicy steak, or maybe a big, nice big juicy hamburger, or better yet, I'd love to sink my teeth into a nice big burrito, you know. I like to sink my teeth into it, because, you know, you go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh boy, you've put on a few pounds, haven't you? What have you been sinking your teeth into? You understand what I'm saying here, what Paul's saying? You see, what we sink into, what we put on, has an effect on us inside. And as we sink into or put on love, and the other things Paul's about to talk about here, we find something changes, and the change comes from the inside out. And all the outside works don't seem to matter until that change takes place inside us. Because we can do all that we can do for the Lord and spend all of our time working for the Lord, and it's useless because love is missing, compassion for others is missing, forbearance is missing, forgiveness is missing. And God says, all your righteous deeds are like filthy rags to me. Unless love and compassion and all these others exist. He goes on to say now, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. All right? And as he talks about this, and as I was reading this, I thought, oh my gosh, this is the church gathering together, because this is what the believers do when they gather. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, because you were called to peace. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. You see, he's talking about the church here, the body of believers. He's talking about us today. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And herein lies a lot of the problem. Why our world, why our culture is in the shape it's in? Because Jesus is not ruling in the hearts, even of some believers who profess Christ as Savior. The second is, be thankful. When he says, be thankful. When we get up in the morning, a lot of us are not morning people. We get up a little grumpy in the morning. But as the day goes by, do we strive to find things to be thankful for? Thirdly, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You see, again, another missing element sometimes in the church, having the word of Christ dwelling in us. You know what the word dwell means? It means to have a fixed position. As a fixed position in the New Testament, it often means that to tabernacle, to tent, to set up a tent or a tabernacle, a place of a position for the Lord. And if we don't let the word of Christ have that fixed position inside us where it occupies and inhabits our inner being, we can't fulfill the works pleasing to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Be thankful and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, grateful to God. Finally, he says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Herein separates the good people from the Christians. Bear with me on this a little bit. There are a lot of good people in this world today. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of people doing good things in this world today. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of those good things are not being done with the motive or the end result to be to glorify God. Therefore, they are not pleasing to God. They're being done for the good of the person so the person can say, I'm a good person. Look what I've done. I'm going to heaven because I've done a lot of good things in this life. And that's exactly what the false teachers were telling the Christians in Colossae that Paul was writing to. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through Jesus. I meet a lot of good people who tell me of all the things that they do, how good they've been. And I say, if you died today, do you know where you'd go? And they say, yes, I'm going to heaven. And I say, how do you know? And they tell me all the good things that they've done, all the years they've spent in church and all the great things that they've done and how they treat people. And I struggle to keep my mouth shut. But what Paul's saying here is that in all that we do as Christians, the clothes that we put on are the undergarments in our hearts and our souls inside. And when those clothes are the proper clothes of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, their attitudes, you see, when they're proper, when they're all in place, and when they are bound together in love towards each other, just as Christians and towards the whole world, then we are really truly dressed as the church. Paul's prayer is that they would live a life worthy of the Lord and that they would please the Lord and bear fruit. No amount of philosophy, no amount of religion, no amount of religious works, no amount of mysticism, no amount of abstaining from certain things can accomplish this. Living a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing to the Lord, and bearing fruit. Only when we refocus our lives, as he said, set your minds and hearts on things above, only when we refocus our lives on Christ and allow him to rule in our hearts, surrendering to his word as true wisdom, then and only then will we be changed and live as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Not because of what we do, but because of what Christ does inside of us, which ultimately comes out of us as the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's very easy to stand here and preach this. It's very easy to say, well, we understand what Paul's saying. I don't know about you folks, but boy, it's pretty darn hard, isn't it? When we're standing in line at the restaurant waiting to eat and we're starving. Or when we order the food with no onions and it comes piled with onions. When our steaks are cold. Maybe we're hurting. Maybe the doctors can't find out what's wrong with us. Maybe we're struggling to bend over and tie our shoes. Maybe somebody's rubbed us the wrong way or said something that's really irritated us. We could be here all day sharing our stories. But I think when Paul says we're to bear with one another, especially as Christians, we're only going to be able to do that with the Holy Spirit living inside us. So as Paul prayed that they would have the perseverance, the endurance, the power, and the strength of God, that they would do God's will and live a life worthy of the Lord, that's our prayer. God, help me. Help me, Lord. As Paul said, wretched man that I am, help me. Because I don't want to be like this. I want to be like you want me to be. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me that I might be more like Jesus today. And not fall victim to the ways of the world that leads me astray from Jesus. Let's pray.